KFYO, good morning, 737. Tom and Laura Collins and Mac with Congressman Randy Nagabar on the line. Welcome to the program this morning.
Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
How was your weekend? A little bit chilly?
Yeah.
It was a little chilly, and, you know, I had a little bit of a travel snafu, and actually I'm trying to get back to D.C. today and tomorrow and having a little bit of a travel issue now. All of the fun that we had here in West Texas over the weekend is headed to Washington, and so I've been getting these flight cancellation notices, so I'm kind of trying to ease my way east, but it's the rough sledding, so to speak.
Try hitchhiking.
Good luck. Yeah.
You might get there a little quicker. Hey, okay. You guys are, Congress is scheduled to adjourn for the holidays on the 13th, this Friday.
That's correct.
So, I mean, this is just one of those things where you want to step back and just say, fire in the hole. What in the heck's going on, man? I mean, realistically, can we pull all this stuff together that needs to be done in 5 days when, you know, a lot of people are having a hard time even getting back to D.C.?
Well, Tom, I think that's a very good question, and there's a lot of moving parts. You know, the farm bill is under negotiations right now. We're making some progress there. We've got this budget negotiations that have been going on between the House and the Senate, and, you know, there's some discussion they could have something ready for us to vote on towards the end of the week. We've got this thing called the Doc Fix, which will, if we don't do something by December 31st, doctors all across the country that are their Medicare reimbursements will drop by 25%. So there's just a lot of moving parts. And, you know, I think that we shouldn't arbitrarily set December 13th as, you know, a go-home date. But, you know, we ought to say, let's get our business taken care of. And when we get finished with our business, then we'll go back to our districts.
Yeah.
That would set well with a lot of people.
That's the right thing. It's the right thing to do, Laura. I mean,
right.
you know, you got to get your work done, and
exactly.
I think that's a West Texas principle. You know, when do we quit? Well, when we quit, when we get our work done.
Yeah. Well, probably not going to happen, though, right?
You know, it's hard to tell. You know, because like I said, they're having members are not may not be able. A lot of members may be able to get there today or tomorrow, and so that really sets the calendar back. And so,
yeah.
You know, we may need to work through the weekend and work into next week. Whatever it takes, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and let's get her done.
Now, I'm just curious, is there who controls that and says, ah, we're not leaving yet?
Well, the Speaker of the House pretty much sets the agenda. You know, the Majority Leader kind of has a lot to do with the calendar, but the Speaker, you know, is the one who said that. And the reason that he did that is because what traditionally has happened is the Senate has always kind of drug their feet, and what's kind of interesting is they took off last week, and they're going to work another week after. So they took off 2 weeks for Thanksgiving. And so we're basically out of sync. So the House is in session this week and the Senate is in session this week. If we stick to the calendar, the House would be, members of the House would be back in their districts next week. Senators would still be in Washington. So that's the reason, you know, I think this December 13th, but it may not be necessarily a firm date.
Right. Okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes. Congressman Randy Nagabar on the line with us, and I guess we'll get down a little bit more in the nitty-gritty on the issues concerning the continuing resolution. It is 23 degrees. Good morning, 7:45 with Congressman Randy Nagabar. Welcome to Lubbock's First News. It's 23 degrees, and where are you? Are you in Lubbock, or are you somewhere in between Lubbock and D.C.?
No, I'm in Lubbock, and just as soon as we finish off this program, I am headed to the airport to see how the day plays out.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I hope you get there safely.
Now you're not trying to go through Dallas. You're going to try and go somewhere into the deep south and get to D.C. Or maybe are you?
Can
headed
you go
west?
Through Houston?
Well, we came back through Houston today. I'm going to work my way through Dallas, but it may be that we have to go south. I have to be in Dallas for a short meeting this at lunch today, and so I'm kind of zigzagging around. But but you know, anyway, I've got extra shirt in my suitcase just in case.
Yeah, Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, what are the sticking points realistically on the continuing resolution? What's going to be the determining factor, whether we get there or not, in your opinion?
Well, I think, you know, it's an age-old struggle between Republicans and Democrats, I think, a little bit on, you know, the Democrats would like to raise taxes. We'd like to continue to cut spending. The other issue is this sequester, another round of sequester cuts will come into play on January 1st. We've been trying to get because we realize that some of the sequester cuts have been cutting pretty deep into defense, we've been trying to get our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to talk about, you know, some mandatory spending reform in some of these programs that are on autopilot, but they refuse really to go there. And so really what the tug of war now is that the Democrats want to find some additional revenues to offset some of these sequester cuts. So we'll kind of see how that pans out, but that's really what's going on right now, and trying to agree to a number that the House and the Senate then could go do their appropriation bills to a number that was mutually agreed upon.
There's some other business. Laura was going to bring something up with you.
To tell us what's going on with the Kids First Research Act.
Yeah, that's a great bill, and we're going to vote on that this week, Laura. And basically, you know, the presidential checkoff fund, you know, when you do your tax return, you got that little checkoff fund. Well, a lot of us, and I introduced a piece of legislation several years ago to eliminate that fund. We don't need the federal government funding our presidential campaigns. So we're going to eliminate that program and move that funding money to a 10-year pediatric research initiative to begin to, you know, put more money into pediatric research. What we're learning is a lot of these kids that are born with some special needs, if we're able to, you know, do some things early, and we're learning what to do early, that we can really change their quality of life long term. So I think this is a great bill, and I certainly want to intend to support.
I'm just curious, how much money floats in that fund?
You know, Tom, I haven't seen that number in a long time, but it's a pretty good chunk of money. I don't have that right in front of me. Between now and next week, I'll try to get that number for you. But it's a pretty good chunk of change. Could you imagine that people that check off $3 on their tax returns? But it's in the millions of dollars.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that money could be put to better use in research for kiddos.
Now, when you actually divert it, if this passes and you successfully divert this, who's going to be in charge of this money and the research?
Well, you know, the National Science Foundation, there are oversight agencies that this money is funneled through. And so and one of the things that they have for those initiatives and research, when you apply to research for these funds, you have peer review of, you know, how successful your research is, what's the scope of your research. And, you know, as you know, I'm one of the senior members of the science committee, and that really falls under our oversight as well. And we bring a number of those agencies that oversee research money in, you know, and give us updates of what they're doing to make sure that we're being good stewards of American taxpayers' hard-earned money. And this research is going to research that's actually, you know, being productive.
Now, what is the name of this act again?
The Kids First.
Kids First Research Act.
Okay, nice.
I'm looking at it's in 1992. 11 primary candidates received a total of $42.7 million in matching funds from that.
Oh, wow.
That $3, isn't it like $3 per taxpayer?
Yeah, that's
when
right.
You check
yeah,
that
to
out.
Check off.
Yeah.
So it's real money.
Yeah, it sure is.
And so I think you and I both agree that's better spent on kids.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, with all of the other PACs and things that are going on and supporting candidates today, I don't think that money is necessarily needs to be used because there are millions and millions of dollars that are floating around with other groups that are supporting candidates from the outside in. Anyway,
yeah, I think candidates ought to be responsible, you know, for raising their own funds. They shouldn't rely on the taxpayers to raise funds for them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's 7:51. We'll be back with Congressman Randy Neugebauer. This will not escape you. We'll be talking about the Affordable Care Act. Good morning. It is 7:55 with Tom Collins and Laura Mack, joined by Congressman Randy Neugebauer, who is meandering his way back to Washington via Dallas, has a short meeting today. Good luck with that, man, getting out of there.
Yeah.
There are several thousand people camping out in the airports up there.
I think there are people, yeah. And I just saw an email a while ago from one of my colleagues, and he's stuck in an airport in, I think, in Mississippi or somewhere. Because they're not going to, they're delaying flights going into D.C., I believe, today for a while. Weather conditions there. So, you know what? It's just part of the job. Whenever I get there, I'll be there.
Yeah, well, my sister's been trying to get to Lubbock from Indiana through Dallas. And even going through, well, she tried to divert and go through like Chicago O'Hare and stuff, and it's all just, all the flights have been canceled Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, and even today, they just told her don't even try till Tuesday, so she's going to try it again tomorrow. All right, coming up, we've got more discourse on, well, we're in the middle of it, but there's more to come, discourse on the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, and it's just kind of interesting, the revelation knowledge that continues to unfold about the expense. It's not so affordable, is it?
It's not, and I think more and more every day in our office we get phone calls and emails and letters of people telling really sad stories of losing their health care that they had, and it was important because remember we mentioned a young woman in Levelland that been treating her daughter's cancer through this insurance policy. The new plan not allowing people to see a doctor that they've been seeing for 20 or 30 years. So it's a problem. And now last week we found out that they're having a problem with the Medicaid website. All of the members of Congress and their staff are trying to sign up now on the exchange in Washington, and they're having a very difficult time. In fact, I've still not been able to log in and be successful on the exchange. And so, the problems can continue. And I think the thing that concerns me most is that the president has to be tone deaf if he doesn't hear the cries of all these people that are very concerned about what's happening to their health care. And I'm hopeful that he will begin to recognize that we may need to push the pause button here, that this is just not acceptable.
Hey, this is one thing that I'm curious about, because when all of this Affordable Care, Obamacare came about, there was a big ballyhoo about, well, if it's good for one, it's good for all, and a lot of the people in the federal government were saying that, hey, we do have separate opportunities for this than what the general American public does. I'm kind of confused now why people are trying, or congressmen, senators, et cetera, like you said, you're trying to sign up, because verifiably, there was a separate system before. What's going on with that?
Well, under the Affordable Care Act, members of Congress and their staff were to get their health care the same place that the American citizens are, and so we're all going to exchanges now to get our health care. What the interesting point that you made, though, is none of the president's cabinet or any of the various agencies that are under the executive branch fall under this, and so they'll all keep their federal health insurance and benefits program. It's basically the people in the House and the Senate that basically are going to be getting their health care in the same bucket that the American public is.
So I wonder what's going to happen when, I guess, he leaves office. Or do former presidents, do they just have some different kind of ride for life?
They do. I mean, I think they get health care for life, and they get a certain amount of money. I'm not sure what their retirement is. It used to be whatever the president retired, whatever he was making when he retired, I think he got that for life. I'm not sure, Tom, if that's the way it is today or not. But anyway, we take care of our former presidents, and maybe that's the appropriate thing to do. I think the thing that's more troubling about this is that how it's impacting Americans all across the country. People, getting huge increases. I was with some people yesterday and said that they've gotten a 300% increase
right
in their insurance premiums.
Hey, Congressman, real quick, we got about 15 seconds. Got a text. Question. How do you push the pause button when people are so many people are already losing their insurance? Got about 10 seconds now.
Well, I think what we do is we, you know, stop the individual mandate and allow the individuals to just get their health care the way they've been getting them until we, you know, come up with a better plan.
Congressman Randy Neugebauer, safe travels to you today. Good luck in the airport. You're going to need it.
Thank you.
7:59. Good morning.